Here are the highlights from the latest episode of Free Talk Live. Visit freetalklive.com for the full episode.
And with you in the studio, you've got me.
At J Noon.
It's me, Mark Edge, coming to you live from Florida. Mark just left the state.
Oh, yeah, you were here. But now you're in Florida.
I did. I did the Liberty Forum while I was up there. Came for my sponsor, Titus Gable, the founder of Free Private Cities Foundation.
So it is Titus. I kept hearing people say Titus, and I was like, is it not Titus?
Right. So it's complicated. He understands the value of the English name Titus, right? Like Titus sounds so powerful in English.
Right.
Naming your kid Titus is really something, right?
Yeah.
And understand that that is true in German too. It's just the way it's pronounced in German is Titus. And so I'm working on an audiobook for them. So I have to, you know, in certain circumstances, he particularly wants his name said Titus Gable, which is fair. In other circumstances, he's like, yeah, sure, let the Americans call me Titus if they want to. I know it sounds better there that way. So you can pick is really the answer.
Okay. Well, I didn't know he was like German or anything like that, or even that they said the name like that. But I'm sorry, I interrupted you. It's just that I kept hearing people say that. I'm like, can they not read, or is that really how he says it?
Well, after he bought me the VIP ticket, then the organizers of Liberty Forum asked me, remember, this is after I paid for my VIP ticket, to work the VIP dinner and auction off some things for the Free State Project. And I did so because, of course, I care about the Free State Project and I want them to do well. And I just like being in front of microphones and standing in front of rooms full of people. So, you know, no problem.
So do you have an auctioneer's chant that you practiced at all?
No, we didn't. It's not that kind of auction.
That's the kind of auction I'd make it.
Yeah.
Was it like a silent auction?
No, it was. So it was a poster board that Glenn Jacobs, the wrestler Kane from the WWE, he had signed this poster board.
And yeah, I met Kane.
They were going to auction it off. And they, you know, I mean, normal people think about things normally, right? You know, their first thought was, well, how much do we want to start the bidding at? How about $50? I said, how about $1,000?
Yep, that's correct. Yeah, you want to basically have the bidding like, you know, 3 to 5 times more than what the thing's actually worth to start.
Easily.
Yep.
Yeah. So we compromised. We started at $200 and worked our way up to $1,100. So I got my $1,000 and some, you know, good folks. The way they think about it, and I think that this is a fair way to think about it, because I talked to the winning bidders, husband and wife. Actually, she is the current president of the New Hampshire Liberty Alliance. Melissa
Crane. Oh, yeah. They're really nice people.
They really are. And what their thought was is, best case scenario, we help Liberty Forum get into the black. Worst case scenario, we pay the paychecks of a few very important and needed
organizers
of the Free State Project generally. So there's two paid employees, Chris and Eric. And they do, you know, of course, different things. But, you know, both, they're necessary. They, you know, they need to be paid.
Oh, Chris is super necessary.
Who is Chris? I know Eric Brakey is the president now, right?
Yep. Chris is the lady in the wheelchair.
Yes. So, so Chris, she is like, so first off, she's a very good friend of mine, has been for, I don't know, 10 years, I guess, you know, and she's just like, you got a question? I send her a text message within minutes. She gets right back to me, generally has the right answer. Well, it doesn't have the answer, but half the time she has the answer, and the other half the time she sends me the name and contact information of who has the answer. So she is invaluable.
Yeah.
And I very much appreciate her service.
She always sets up people's move-in parties, and she does the FSP calendar. And I remember one time I just texted her like, oh, maybe she knows. I asked her what number FSP signer or mover I was, and she got that information to me back really quickly. Yep. I was like, whoa, I didn't even...
She's real good at all that stuff. provides a tremendous amount of value, and I often use her as an example of so she's someone, she's in a wheelchair, her legs don't work, and she gets more done than most people that have fully functioning bodies.
Yeah.
You know, she is gets a lot of things done and is very valuable and productive.
It's funny because the two people that are in the Free State Project that I know that are actually disabled, her and Riley, our Wednesday host, are not on welfare.
The thing is, so the calves are stupid. The money for calves, like in 2019, for example, these bull calves at auction that would look like a half Angus, half Holstein, you know, they were bringing like $200 on the high end side. And they were basically like the straight up Holstein bull calves, day old Holstein bull calves, were like $32, $28 at these auctions.
That's crazy. It seems like I honestly would have thought they'd be way more expensive.
Well, there wasn't much of a market back then, but now because the cattle inventory is so low, they're expensive. Pigs, on the other hand, pigs are still relatively cheap. They're cheaper to buy at auction. I don't know what a market hog's worth right now. I could actually look it up real quick. But
I hope you keep buying lamb because that's currently my favorite meat and really all I want to eat anymore.
Oh, that's good to know. Yeah, so I've been buying lamb actually off of, I just buy them raised off of a very good friend of mine. The woman's in her 70s.
And it's delicious.
And she's just back down to basically just raising lambs now and chickens because she's just too old to be dealing with cows.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. So,
and you know, the lambs and stuff, and they're pretty much hands off, and she's got a good system. And
I just look up like a Mediterranean recipe that it always calls for, like, oh, I can't remember off the top of my head right now, like allspice and ginger and stuff like that. And oh my God, nothing tastes better than that on lamb. I've just been eating that constantly recently. I think I'm going to stop eating pork and I'm just going to eat like cow and lamb because it's least likely to turn into like PUFA in the body, like if they were fed corn and stuff like that. That's that's polyunsaturated fatty acids.
So my pigs are not fed. We're not fed any corn. They were mostly, now they were a little bit in the spring.
Oh, okay.
But they were basically finished on eggs from an organic, chicken eggs from an organic egg farm. The guy, he raises 20,000 egg birds and basically produces about a 5-gallon bucket day of discolored, disfigured, cracked, oversized, undersized eggs. So I fed them to the pigs.
Well, is this the really famous one in New Hampshire with the
Pete and Jerry's?
Yeah, I got some of theirs recently, and I got such a giant egg. I cracked a regular looking one next to it, and it was like you could tell that the yolk was like at least 50% smaller than that one.
Yeah. So one thing that's nice about Pete and Jerry's is like they it's just like family farms that are, you know, raising this. Like this guy who's got these 20,000 eggs, he's 20,000 hens, he operates himself, he's like in his mid-60s, and he's got a couple of sons, and he's got I think 7 or 8 grandchildren, and he also has, he's a farmer, he makes a bunch of hay, he does all kinds of stuff, but him and his grandkids kind of run that egg farm together, and so he gives me his eggs, so I was able to literally feed my 3 pigs, I just did 3 pigs, a half a 5-gallon bucket of eggs almost every day. And then for the last like 3 months of their life, they basically got a one full 5-gallon bucket of eggs. They almost didn't even eat it all. They kind of started wasting it a little bit because I was feeding them so much.
That's nice too, because a lot of people see like vegetarian fed on their meat and they think that's a good thing. That just means that the pig you're eating was fed a bunch of soy, and pigs are not vegetarians. So why would that be healthy to eat? It's the same thing with chickens too, apparently, that people think they're not carnivores. Well, both.
Right, they are. Actually, omnivores. Yeah, pigs and chickens are omnivores and scavengers. They will eat anything. So I feed all my, the grain I feed all my livestock is some really awesome feed that actually Neil Smith of Bardo Farm has been sourcing. He's been working at this for like 7 years to put this deal together, and he's been crushing it for a couple of years now.
Nice.
Doing really good. So we're basically getting a bunch of feed that was destination is for breweries, upscale hipster breweries. So like pretty much most of this feed is barley, oats, rye, from Europe.
Just so much better than corn.
Well, and it's and the stuff, like it says right on the bag and on the website, They don't use any, you know, herbicides. They don't use any Roundup. Most of it is meets or exceeds multiple organic certifications. And we do a good job with that feed. It doesn't fatten the animals up like corn does. Like all the guys who I talk to are still sort of stuck in this like Monsanto mindset of corn, and soy. They're like, oh man, well what do you mean it takes you 14 months to raise a pig to market hog?
Gigi in South Carolina. Gigi, you're on Free Talk Live. What's on your mind?
Bonnie. Mrs. Freeman, it's so wonderful to hear your voice.
Oh, it's wonderful to hear from you, Gigi.
I haven't called in weeks and weeks and weeks. I was out with a bad, bad COVID, but God bless your husband. He should only stay well and safe. He always writes me diligently, and his letters are so wonderful. And, of course, my husband and I reply.
Aw, I appreciate that you write to him
and
keep him updated.
Two things, please. Mm-hmm. And this is also for the benefit of anyone listening to Free Talk Live who values the program's format as my husband and I have always and continue to do. We received some information from Ian that was extremely distressing to both my husband and I. My husband is a practicing licensed attorney in the state of South Carolina. I am not. However, we are extremely concerned, and this applies to anyone listening who knows, has a friend or a relative in a county, state, or federal facility, maximum or minimum. Ian wrote us that there was a COVID outbreak on his block, and as a result, food is being delivered in styrofoam containers with a, and I'm quoting from his letter, bare minimal insufficient amount three times a day. Additionally, not being permitted to get out for fresh air and exercise. Now, an argument can be made on the other side of the coin, just to play devil's advocate, from the warden or the Department of Prisons, that it's a safety issue because it's highly contagious. But my husband was ranting and raving when we read Ian's letter, and Jeffrey said, you must call and make this aware that a constitutional right can be argued on behalf of Ian. More food is mandatory. He is a grown man, and he needs to be let out. Otherwise, it is the same as solitary confinement. These are constitutional violations. Please take heart, anyone who is listening.
Thank you so much, Gigi. It really does seem like all of the things that they implement, the restrictions they implement every time somebody gets a freaking cold or feel completely fine, but technically test positive for COVID, are do nothing but harm the people in general, because exercise is obviously always going to be good for you.
It places more limitations on them, right?
Yeah,
exactly. That's exactly correct. And one last thing, please permit me. We've been listening to the court's rulings on the crooked SOB police officers out of Mississippi. I can't wait till they go to prison, state prison.
What's going on there?
Placed in the general population. Wait till the African American inmates get a hold of them. Then there will be equitable justice.
What's happening there? I hadn't heard anything about.
Oh, it's been all over NPR, the BBC, local news, that for almost 25, maybe 30 years, There was an illegal, quiet, hush-hush organization amongst state police officers in Mississippi that were quite similar in their agenda, mm-hmm. under the cover, so to speak, targeting men, particularly of color. And there were two African-American men that were so beaten, and one was shot in the mouth. Mm. He can no longer walk or talk and has cognitive disabilities. And one of them was also sexually tortured by several white state Mississippi police officers. And the ruling came out 2 days ago from the judge as well as the jury. Not only were the police officers found guilty, but they were each sentenced to a minimum of 25 years for federal civil rights violations.
Wow.
I mean, it just goes to show you the KKK lives on, baby.
Ian does need to get out of there. The court that brought him to trial is not a court of record. Hmm. It is not a court of record as defined by Black's Law, 4th edition. A court of record has many elements to it, and one being common law, another one being a victim, and you know, another element being that the judge is impartial. So these judges aren't impartial. They have they are paid by the U.S. government. They are paid by pension. They have pension funds.
Also, I really have a problem, a real problem, with mm-hmm. prosecutors becoming judges. And this seems to be the path. The
massive
vast majority
of
judges are prosecutors, former prosecutors. And like that particular path, that's fine if you want to go be the attorney general of a state or something to that effect. But a judge, that should be barred, in my opinion, from people who,
well,
you know.
He's immediately, you know, going to be siding towards
right.
the people who are doing the job that he always did his whole life.
Let's look at prosecutors and judges. They are both members of this organization called the Bar Association, which is a British Admiralty organization. It is a title of nobility from the English crown to be in the Bar Association. Hmm. The Bar Association is, I call it the British Agricultural Revolution, where the bar members are the farmers and the people are essentially the livestock that they keep on milking. The purpose of bar attorneys, and there are non-attorney, there are non-bar attorneys out there.
Not very many, but there are some.
There are some. We have, was it Brandon Jarvis? He's a non-bar attorney. And technically, it's really easy to do in New Hampshire to be an attorney, in fact. And
that's a non-bar attorney, an attorney in fact?
Right, yes. An attorney in fact is basically your assistance of counsel as described by Article 6 of the Bill of Rights. And another thing is the original 13th Amendment, which is on display in Texas still, from what I understand, at the Capitol building there, or the State House. The original 13th Amendment barred people with titles of nobilities, so all of these esquires, from being involved in government. You couldn't be elected or appointed to a government position if you have a title of nobility. That has, by way of history, been sort of scrubbed away and hidden and not talked about, and everybody thinks it's, you know, some kind of conspiracy theory, this 13th Amendment that bars attorneys from being in government. Well, we don't have governments. I could tell you that the U.S. District Court of Concord, or whatever they call it, is not of New Hampshire, is not a government. It's not a judicial branch of government. It's an administrative tribunal, just like circuit court, just like Superior Court in New Hampshire, just like every family court in every state of the union. They are all administrative tribunals. They are without due process of law, and they are all operating essentially either on the presumption that the people are consenting to their jurisdiction, which most people never challenge the jurisdiction. From what I understand, the bar maggot that Ian hired never challenged jurisdiction because
no, he didn't.
Bar maggots cannot charge.
Out,
right.
Yeah.
They cannot challenge jurisdiction of the court. So they're compromised. So the prosecutors, your defense attorney, and the judge are all in the same employees union called the Bar Association. It's basically just an employees union to keep these scumbags calling themselves lawyers and attorneys working, and they work against the people. There's an old saying, if there's one attorney in town, he doesn't make too much money. But when there's two attorneys in town, they both make a tremendous amount of money because they engage in controversy against each other. Hmm. So these guys...
And then they're like shaking hands and laughing together.
Absolutely.
Outside of the actual... It's not... Not even outside of the courtroom. It's in the courtroom with everybody involved. Yep. But as soon as the timer ticks on, they act like they're not on the same team. And it's freaking crazy. The other thing that like would shock people who've never gone through the court system is like all of the, all right, it's time for the judge, the prosecution, and the defense attorney to go behind the door, go back in a room by themselves and have a private little conversation a million times during the proceedings. And then they come out, you know, laughing together and like smiling, and then they've come to a conclusion. This is the first time David from New Mexico has called in, not at the very last second in the show. Do you have something relevant to say about this? It seems like something you'd be interested in.
Of course I do, Bonnie. Everything I say is relevant, so you know the answer to that. That's simple math.
It just seemed like something you would actually want to have a comment on, so that's why I let you on.
Well, actually, I called about something else, but I do have comments on it. And I'll share them with you. But first of all, you're wrong on the etymology of the word woman.
What is it?
When Adam first saw Eve, you know, she's all naked and stuff. He goes, "Whoa, man, look at that!"
Nice.
Yeah,
that's pretty cute.
Well, it's true. It's true, man. I had a conversation with him one time. He told me all about it, man. I mean, you'd be the same way. If you're like the only man, there's no women on it. All of a sudden, bam! Not only woman, but she's naked. Whoa, man. That'd be it's a natural reaction, dude.
So, David, the world's second man.
Yes, the world's second man, yes.
Number two.
I didn't get it. Yeah. Hey, number two. What was that, Bonnie? You slipping in a little bit? Yeah, I heard that. All right. I see how this is going
to
go.
Second best to Adam.
Yeah, right. Yeah, I thought you were making a number two comment, like number two stories from
Captain
Cuckass.
No, I'm not making a number two. I just will never make a joke about feces, so just assume that.
Oh, okay. Well,
that's what I thought the joke was about.
Dang it.
See, Bonnie? Okay. So, okay, well, from this point forward. So, but I got, you know, because you got Mark there, I mean, I got more questions about horses. I got all kinds of fun questions about horses. But since you got Mark there, let's do sailboats today. But first of all, my comment on that I don't think you'll ever get to on your transsexual sporting event, whatever, is who's that? Do I hear something in the background?
Oh, it's Mark typing.
Oh, Mark, stop typing.
I'm looking up Whoa Man.
Whoa. No, it's not Whoa Man. It's Whoa Man. So two things on your topic, and then I'll ask my question. So first of all, there's Title IX. I know you don't care about the government, but Title IX does exist, and that's to protect women's sports, to give them an opportunity because the money's in the men's sports, and it's kind of a violation of Title IX, and so I'll just introduce that. I don't want to argue it. And the other thing is, if you let dudes who are now dudettes, or however you want to explain it, that can obviously outperform physically in athletic competitions, the ones that are not transitioning from male to female, you're stealing from the original women. You're stealing from them. You're stealing all kinds of stuff, and I won't list off what you're stealing. You can figure that out for yourself. Sailboats. Mark. What is the sailboat market like in Florida nowadays as far as availability and prices are up or prices are down and stuff like that?
I haven't been looking too much, but one thing that I've found about sailboats is after they're about 15 years old, the only thing as far as the costs go is the maintenance costs, the maintenance costs essentially. So you're not paying for the boat any longer. You're paying for the cost to repair the boat. If you've got a boat that everything's broken on it, then it's free. And there's lots of free boats.
Yeah, I was just with my father-in-law, and he's a avid sailor. And he one of
in
the
Florida
reasons,
too, right?
Well, he had a boat. He's had a boat on Lake Winnipesaukee for
here
like
in New Hampshire.
Yeah, he had several different boats, but every, you know, he's had a boat, you know, on that lake for like the 25 years previous to moving from New Hampshire. So he moved away in spring of 2020, sold his boat, fall of 2019. And I believe he got something like $26,000 for his boat. It was a 36-foot I can't remember what, but anyway,
well, that sounds huge.
It's a, well, yeah, you know, it's a 36-foot boat, you know, sailboat.
I mean, three stories. That's a 3 stories plus 6 feet. That's huge.
Yeah, long, right? 36-foot long. Mm-hmm. Yep. So, anyways, but he got like $24,000 for that boat, and he was telling me that the guy was trying to sell it and was basically had it out there for like $7,000 or $8,000, and it was quite good shape when my father-in-law sold it to the guy. It had only like 100 hours on the engine, but you know, you rarely use them, so they're all low hours. The boat, I was out on the lake, you know, multiple times with it in 2019 and 2018.
Winnipesaukee is such a pretty area.
And I did a whole bunch of sailboat races with him, which is like the slowest race in the world is on a sailboat. And anyways, then his buddy just sold, his buddy moved down to Florida too, and they went in partners on a boat together, I guess. And the boat was his friend's that he had shipped from here to Florida. And from what I understand, he sold that boat like 6 or 8 months ago. And the cost of getting the boat to Florida is about what he got for the boat. And it was like a $75,000 boat like 10 or 12 years ago.
On one hand, I don't want legislators telling people how they can participate in sports and that sort of thing. On the other hand, send your kid to a government school, expect government solutions.
Yeah, that's kind of what I didn't read the bill, and I don't really have some hard approve or disapprove on this thing. One thing, I don't have kids. Another thing, I hate sports. But one thing I think about it is that it is public school, so it just seems to me that if everybody is forced to pay for these children to play these stupid games, well, then you shouldn't be forced to pay for girls to be getting actually injured and to not be able to compete with the people who have much larger bones. My point was with bringing up Kim Petras being somebody who started estrogen at 11 years old is like she still clearly has different proportions than someone like me. Someone the same age that was born female never did anything about it.
So, right. And I don't have a problem with somebody somebody dressing however they want to dress to go to public school. I don't have a particular problem with, you know, I don't want to see the trans girl forced to wear the boy's uniform. I don't want to see the trans girl forced to go into a bathroom where she feels unsafe. Mind you, there's a real problem with people feeling unsafe where she decides she's going to go to the bathroom. And I think the school needs to address that particular problem. But all of that essentially is, putting on the county the problem of whatever your child's got. And if your child needs a special school, maybe they need a special school. I don't know the answer to that.
Sports, that's the thing. If there was like a child that was born with some other ailment, like that could harm other students, I don't think that anyone would be in favor of like, you just got to let them play anyway. Like, if there's some child that was born with some kind of like made up disease that I'm making up right now where they just, every 5 minutes, they become like the Hulk and they start smashing people. Well, nobody would be up in arms saying, hey, they should be allowed to play with the girls. Well, like, you know, and it's just basically the same thing because women get injured if they have to play. That's the whole reason why there aren't co-ed things for stuff like football and
yeah, because the girls
soccer.
Get wrecked
yeah.
in those full contact sports. So basically baseball, I'm sorry, basketball, football, soccer, lacrosse, field hockey, those are full contact sports. So I watched my little sister play a lot of field hockey over the years. And they run into each other pretty hard, those girls. And they're getting, some of them getting bloody nose, you know, fat lip, loose, you know, so they're kind of making a point not to run into each other, but it just happens. You put a boy in the mix, especially one that has a mental illness, so now they're calling themselves trans because they're mentally ill, and they usually have rage issues because they're mentally ill.
I prefer the term mental condition because I don't know whether what to say regarding it all. I get where you're coming from. I'm not.
Yeah, that's a good way to put it. Mental condition. So yeah, someone who's got
it's undeniably a mental condition.
So someone who has a mental condition that generally, in my observation, are, you know, what's the suicide rate on what do they call them, trans girls? What's the suicide rate on a boy that wants to be a girl? So obviously, if you want to be a girl. And your parents have been either they're these woke leftist nut, you know, mentally conditioned nut jobs themselves, and they're programming you to, you know, sort of do this thing for attention or whatever, or the internet is programming you to do this. The algorithm, this is why I'm so much against keeping so much want to keep kids off the internet, because the internet is really promoting and incentivizing, you
when
know, this
I
whole
was a
trans
kid,
stuff.
It was the internet was seriously promoting depression, bipolar. Like it was cool. If you went on Tumblr in 2011 when I was a freshman in high school, you would be like, wow, I want a mental illness, like as in being depressed or
because
eating
you get
disorder.
Attention for
yeah,
it.
Because you get attention for it. And Nikki and I had this whole conversation on the show before about it, how it wasn't being trans back then, but it was actually kind of being like a lesbian. So every single girl
right.
that and I ever went to high school with that was bi or gay is married to a man now.
Hey, Daily Digest listeners, this is Riley Blake. I enjoy Free Talk Live, and I know you do too, but finding time to listen to an entire episode isn't always easy. So I produce the Daily Digest. I appreciate those of you who have supported me on Patreon and sent Bitcoin to me to thank me for producing these digests. For those who wish to support me on Patreon, visit patreon.com/crblake86. If you wish to send Bitcoin, visit patreon.com/crblake86 for those details. That's patreon.com/crblake86. Thank you.
This New Hampshire House bill would require parents of students to produce a birth certificate to prove to school districts their child's sex at birth. And the bill would require all interscholastic, intercollegiate, intramural, whatever that means, or...
It's just not the big team. It's okay. Just people playing for fun, and usually in college.
Okay. And it's all the public things. It's not... Like, oh, the state is now going to go to some local privately owned sports team and force them to not allow trans people into the sports teams they want to be on if that's what the owner of the sports team wanted to do. It's the public schools. So that's kind of it's an important thing to note for me, because I wouldn't support the government stopping any privately owned business from doing whatever they want. Whether I agree with it or disagree with it. I just think in my hypothetical mind, if I had a daughter that also wanted to play sports ball, which is like a bunch of ifs, but if I did, that I wouldn't want them to be playing with the trans girls because they are just not built the same. It wouldn't be fair. My little sister, who's only 4 years younger than me, so she's an adult now, I always watched her in sports, and I know how serious she got about it. One time I just said, like, oh, you should have tried harder, Elsbeth, after a game, and she got really mad. I was obviously joking, but she got, like, really mad at me. Like, she's never been mad at me before, because, like, oh, this is their entire life. Like, it's so important, and I don't understand that at all.
Well, the reason you don't understand it is because you're not out there, right? Like, if you're out there, and you're trying, and your adrenaline's pumping, and you're working towards a goal, and all those things, it's a lot different than sitting there on the sideline. And, by the way, the people who go and sit on the sidelines are really important to the people who are playing.
I don't understand it and still don't understand it. I'm saying that I cannot literally empathize, but I can sympathize now. Sure. But at the time, I was just being mean to my little sister and she got really mad. So imagine if you are trying your hardest like that, you really care that much, and then you can't possibly do better than second best the whole time. Just like David from New Mexico, always second best to Adam, the first man. No, but you can't possibly do it any better, even if you were breaking like female world records. Well, you have a boy or a person who is biologically born a boy playing against you, and you can't possibly beat them. Even if they were like the crappiest person on the boys' team, they have such an unfair advantage.
I just want to send a message to the ladies. Look, I'm sorry that men are better at being women than you are, but apparently they are. They're going to just take all the records and they're going to do all this stuff unless you do something about it.
That's not being a
they're
woman.
Definitely playing... not better at being women.
Right, exactly.
I mean, when it comes to building sandwiches, my wife does a great job and making babies and, you know, doing all that good stuff.
Yeah.
So all I'm trying to do is whip people up, because the obvious statement here is that girls' sports ought to be reserved for girls. And we need to have some system for testing that. Now, I personally recommend the system of a chromosomal test. And if you have two X chromosomes...
Do you want the government to do that to people, though?
Well, if they want to play government sports, there's all kinds of things they have to do. I've played government sports before. I went to school, and I had to have all kinds of stuff filled out and that kind of thing. And if somebody questioned my gender, which... in my proposal, they would never question my gender because I don't propose a boys' team. Because let's just go ahead and call it the double X team and the open team, or league. Let's call them leagues. The double X league and the open league. In the double X league, you must have two X chromosomes. In the open league, you can have any array of chromosomes you want to have. You can play and you can compete on whatever level you want. And, you know, if you want to wear a skirt while you're doing it, then you're welcome to.
Yeah, I kind of like that.
I think that's the best solution here. I'm not trying to be mean to my trans friends.
Right.
What I'm trying to do is be fair to female athletes.
In the motorsports world, when you have, you know, women competing against men, there's just a lot more men that are riding motocross, that are driving dragsters, that are doing this, you know, tractor pulling and truck pulling. One thing I've noticed with the garden tractor pulls, there's a lot of young girls doing that. Hmm. A lot of farm girls, a lot of country girls. It's like 50-50 with the little kids, you know, in that. But that's, you know, man and machine, or with a horse, it's man and beast. So, for example, in the rodeo world, you have what's called steer wrestling, where you literally are galloping up behind a steer on your horse. And you jump off your horse, you grab the steer by the horns, and you drive your heels into the ground, and you twist the steer down and around.
Holy! And I've steer, seen that, but I can't imagine doing it. Like, just
well,
that's crazy.
Women don't even try doing that. I've never actually seen, like, in any professional rodeo association where any women have even tried doing steer wrestling, because when they actually try it, they get wrecked.
I bet,
and they get really, really hurt. And steer wrestlers are known as bulldoggers, and I was really into the rodeo culture. But
I've also never seen a rodeo clown that was a woman. Have you?
Nope. Actually, I have not.
And that's some dangerous stuff. Yep. And you have to be, like, somebody who's crazy about adrenaline to do that. Because it is an actual thing, if people don't know.
When I was at Anarchapulco, there was a doctor down there, and he wanted to use me as, like, an example. Mm-hmm. As, like, he was, you know, just... making an example to someone he was talking to. And so he's like, you know, talking about this, you know, little red rosacea on my forehead. Mm-hmm. And so we think we figured out what that is. And I'm doing working on a liver cleanse right now, actually.
That it's rosacea?
That's what the end result is of, like, the liver cleanse. It's, you know, your body is, you know, just reacting to some stuff. So anyways, he was talking about how, like, he was telling his woman how, look at this guy, look at his jaw, look at his shoulders, look at the way he walks, look at, he's got, you know, a full beard, you know, he has, like, really good testosterone, and he doesn't even know me, like, he watched my presentation, he gave me some really good compliments and some feedback about that. His name's Peter Grady, he's a doctor from the UK, a homeopathic doctor. So...
Well, I don't think there's any man that's going to be insulted if you say he has really good testosterone.
Right, so right, right.
It's probably a safe thing to say. I'd agree with him.
So anyways.
But he said that about me, too.
He goes, you ever get in a fight before? I says, yeah, I've gotten in a whole bunch of fights as a, you know, a teenager, a couple as a, you know, in my 20s. And he goes, have you ever got any broken bones? I said, actually, no, I haven't broke a bone once in my life. He says, what's the last fight you got into? I says, well, about a year ago, I had this big old girl beat the crap out of me.
Whoa.
And I say, he goes, wow, what do you mean? I says, oh, she beat me bad, gave me the scar on the side of my head, you know, some stitches in the back of my head. I got 8 stitches by my eye. So I played a video. I don't know if you guys have seen the video.
I've seen it. It's okay. Crazy.
So this big cow, 1,600-pound cow. Like,
I forgot that was a girl. It was acting so crazy.
With horns. A Charlet Limousine Cross cow. Just pummeled me like 12 times.
It threw him up against the wall multiple times, and I wouldn't have survived that.
So I played the video for the guy. And he goes, yep. He says, he points to the girl that mm-hmm. he's talking to. He says, you would have been dead.
Yeah, I saw the video too.
Because you don't have testosterone.
I just know I would have been dead too. Because you like grabbed the top of whatever it threw you up on and pulled yourself away. Didn't you?
I didn't pull myself away. Mm. I was trying to pull myself away, and it was raining out. Like, and I had gloves on.
Uh-huh.
And that, like, if I didn't have gloves on, I'd probably be in better shape. But what actually
I saw it, like over a year ago
got me out of the position. Was the last time the cow hit me, I picked up my feet,
mm-hmm.
and it hit my feet and like my butt cheeks at the same time with her head,
mm-hmm.
and it launched me up like right on top of the trailer.
That's what it was. Oh,
and then,
God.
But like
crazy.
For 4 days, man, my butt cheeks, the bottoms of my feet, my whole right hand side of my body just hurt.
We have Dave Ridley in New Hampshire on the phone. Dave from RidleyReport.com, what's on your mind?
Hey, guys. Well, something I wish was not on my mind.
Uh-oh.
So I have a question for you. When a political candidate orders an ad run on your channel but fails to pay for it, is it appropriate to inform the public?
I think so.
Yeah, I would agree, especially if you have some kind of... So you want to be careful that this guy can't come like against you for some kind of libel or slander or something, this political candidate, but... You know, I'm sure you have some, you know, communications you could probably screenshot, or as long as you feel
should
you
ask
can,
a lawyer, definitely. But.
Well, as long as you can feel you can verify in that, you know, he agreed to pay you and you did an ad and you're stating he didn't pay you. I mean, I think you're pretty okay to expose
him. Morally, I agree that you should do it. You should expose
him. Right. I think that's where I would come from on this, is that if this is so, and I'm not verifying or denying that this occurred. But if this is so, then the people who would vote for him or her and donate to the campaign or that sort of thing need to know how they conduct business, you know.
So who is it? I want to know.
Yeah, unfortunately, this is someone considered generally a constitutionalist candidate who I would have probably voted for if this hadn't happened. It's Therese Bastarache. Do you know her?
Oh, Therese Grinnell. Yeah, she's a really bad person. No one should really support her. She's terrible to everyone who tries to work with her. She turns against them. She's like, loves drama. She's not a libertarian for sure. And she was really mean to Ian once when Ian has done nothing but be nice to her.
Okay, interesting. So I'm not alone in my think. Well, I don't think necessarily exactly the same as you. I think it's appropriate to focus on what's actually been said. And so I have kept transcripts of all our communications, and I've published the raw transcripts on forum.shiresociety.com if anyone wants to read the whole exchange. But I have some specific quotes I want to get into that were the most some of the more disturbing ones. But you're going up to a break, aren't you?
No. We just got off break, so you should tell us.
Okay, so here's, for one, so several different things. First of all, she ordered an ad run in late January. I wouldn't expect her to pay for it in late January. I started doing some of the work before receiving any payment. Then she saw one of my ambush interviews, and she didn't think I should have ambush interviewed that politician. And she didn't like my questions, and she wanted to renege, which is, in and of itself, that's workable. We can talk about that. So we did start talking about that. I suggested, well, why don't we do cut the fee in half. I've done about half the work. It was going to be $300. Let's just make it $150. She got really angry at me at that point. And, you know, that was after some time had gone past. And so I posted... 2 days ago, I posted this to the Shire forums, just posted the raw conversation, no summary and no opinion of my own. And right after I posted that, I sent it to her, and immediately I received this quasi-threatening email from a man identifying himself, accurately or not, as a Walter Kirsch. It reads, quote, "Blackmail? Really? You should be careful who you F-bomb with," unquote. And he didn't say F-bomb.
Yeah.
So that was one concerning quote. And the other one, I'm sorry, go ahead.
Is this Walter? Oh, man. Did he run for state representative, this guy?
I don't know.
Boy, I'm gonna just hold on a second.
All
I'm gonna look this up.
All of her, if this helps you figure it out, all of her friends are like right wingers, and they're those people that think like, oh, I'm a libertarian too now because I was against the lockdowns and the stupid COVID measures, which is it's great. You were against the lockdowns and the stupid COVID measures. Good for you. But you don't automatically become a libertarian when you still believe in coercion and violence at the state of the at the hands of the state, but just like the kind of coercion and violence you actually like. She did one thing that was interesting. She was a nurse during the COVID lockdowns in 2020, and she just went outside in, I think it was Manchester, and just held a sign saying, like, stop the lockdowns. It's ridiculous. And over time, the first time she did it, it was like, oh, I feel silly being out here doing this. And then over time, like, one person joined her, then two people joined her, then there was, like, I don't know, hundreds of people that would weekly go to her protest that she had started.
DCYF and Family Court are not using due process of law. They're stealing children without due process of law. They're putting people's names on communist, socialist, Nazi-style lists without due process of law. And it's this agency, as far as I'm concerned, is comprised of a cultural rot and cultural decay with its employees who are a bunch of woke essentially activists and vigilantes that are targeting people who aren't complying or, you know, acting within the narrative. And we have a lot of evidence and a lot of proof of this. I am going to be there on Monday with some testimony. I'm going to keep it short and brief, and I'm going to actually be testifying at every single committee hearing afterwards because I have a lot of information to give these guys. The problem is I'm kind of like a fire hose trying to fill up a shot glass. So I got to, like, you know, just, you know, they're just people, you know, on this committee. They can only digest so much information at a time. But, Dave, I think if you got some stuff that these committee that this committee needs to hear, things that, you know, you want to tell them, that would be a good place for you and also Paris Hilton to show up and testify under oath.
Well, I wish I could be in Concord every day. But there is one piece of good news related to this that's coming out of Concord, and that is that State Rep. Jason Gerhard is trying to mediate this situation between me and Therese.
Oh.
So she called him, I guess, and he called me quickly. And his suggestion has been, okay, how about a payment plan, just $5 a month for 2 years? It's not ideal. But that's probably something that would let us move forward if that happens. So he's working on that. But meanwhile, she sent me a message today. It says, quote, if you do not remove We the People promo from the NH exit and confirm such by end of today, I will seek appropriate recourse, unquote.
Wow.
So that's the video.
So here's,
trying to have taken down.
Here's how I'd respond to that. My rate for, you know, IT, computer, network, you know, internet services is X amount of dollars per hour or per session. And once you have paid me, then I will go ahead and I will provide this service for you. But you can't force me to do anything.
She's crazy.
Without paying me.
It's only a matter of time before she turns on Jason Gerhart too, and then suddenly she hates him and there's drama with him and she's calling the cops on him or whatever. She is crazy. She's not actually like a good person. She's a bad person, and this is just,
well,
more proof,
you know,
I've seen it a million times
now.
Oh, I was just saying, I've seen a lot of instances of things exactly like what you're saying.
I've enjoyed talking with her over the years for the most part, and I look forward to being on the same side as her again at some point. This will pass like everything else. But I didn't even want to call you about it. I waited 2 days, you know, and in a sense, I waited, you know, over a month. So, yeah, it's just time for the public to know my concerns.
It sounds like she doesn't really want to, I mean, if Jason tried to mediate and then she texted you something like that, it really does sound like she doesn't want to be, to find a, you know, a peaceful solution. So I don't blame you for calling in about it. We have Rob in Vermont. Rob, what's on your mind?
Hey, I wanted to say, Jay, I will be there Monday morning at 9 o'clock, and if Dave Ridley needs a ride, I'm happy to pick him up and bring him there.
Oh, you guys are both on Telegram. I could probably get you guys connected on there if you don't have his contact info.
Thank you, Rob. Yeah, that'd be good. Yeah, and you know, so just know, you know, the public hearing part doesn't start till 11, and which means that at 11 o'clock, if they stop the actual, you know, work part of the, you know, the committee, then they'll have like a 15-minute break that usually turns into a half an hour, or they might run over. But just so you don't like think like you're ready to go talk at 9:15, you're gonna have to, you know, sit around there for a couple hours and listen. But anyways, just so you're aware of that.
Yeah, can you tell me, is this going to be filmed at all? Is it going to be live?
Yeah, so actually there probably will be some news media there. And they actually have a house. So it's a New Hampshire House live stream on YouTube. They actually have their own YouTube channel. And they have a pretty good camera set up. They have good microphones. I think they do hard copy recording. I see like there's like a camera set up. There's like a whole like IT department, you know, in that state house that actually seems to do a relatively good job, best I can tell. So you can watch it right on YouTube. And they live stream all these, you know, committees. Sometimes there's multiple live streams on the House, the New Hampshire House YouTube channel all at once.
Exactly. And I know I've seen them before. But the thing that's important is that when you go to these hearings, you want to make sure that you can hear everyone and that everyone can hear you. Because I've noticed, not in those hearings, but other hearings, you can't hardly hear someone, or it's, you know,
yeah,
what I mean?
They have microphones, but sometimes you do have to like project your voice and stuff. Well, it'd be great for you guys to show up, and I'll try to connect you with Dave Ridley.
The most important thing about this hearing is you need to put yourself under oath. Hmm. It's real simple. You just raise your right hand and say, I, Jay Noon, solemnly swear to tell the whole truth and nothing but the truth. So help me, Great Spirit, or God, or just, you don't even have to say so help me God or anything. You just swear to tell the whole truth and nothing but the truth. Hmm. It is very important that it's under oath. These guys, the establishment, Republicans and Democrats that have become parasites that are addicted to the crack cocaine called federal money from the Social Security Administration, that is, you know, tons of it comes out of DCYF and Family Court because of the Child Safe and Families Act of 1997 that was, you know, ushered in by Jeffrey Epstein's frequent flyer, good buddy, Billy Clinton. In 1996 or 97, gives tons of money to the states for, based on the performance of DCYF doing assessments and all this stuff. They are so worried that their golden egg-laying goose is going to be shut down because it's operating without law, it's operating without due process, and now we're finally having people testify under oath, and this is why they kicked like Sherman Packard, who's a establishment thug Republican, Speaker of the House in New Hampshire, who is committing maladministration. You go to my website, jnoon.com, and you will see there's an affidavit of maladministration of Sherman Packard. I think it's the fourth button down, right on my website there. You should read that affidavit from Chris Noyes. There should be one available publicly on a JOT form very soon. Because this guy needs to be dealt with, but it's very important to put yourself under oath at this hearing, and I hope everybody does.
Oh, they kicked Leo Cushman off for suggesting that people should be under oath, and yep. I think that's pretty telling. It's like, we don't want people telling the truth here.
Right, so because what they want to do is what they've been doing right along, is just putting the, you know, the dirt under the carpet. They are not, nothing is happening. They have, there's these complaints that have been going on and on and on. And basically what they've been doing is they've been buying the silence of the victims by settling massive lawsuits.
Terrible, really sad.
Just internet search, New Hampshire DCYF settlements. They've been, hundreds of millions of dollars have been spent. The Sununu Rape Center is another big thing that's costing the taxpayers hundreds of millions of dollars.
And
what did you say, Mark?
And what is that?
The Sununu Detention Center, I think, is the full name. And there were, I think, over 100 people that came out.
150 people have come out, said that they were raped multiple times. They were beaten.
They're not allowed to talk about it now because they got given, like, laughable amounts of money. It's a really sad thing.
You just heard highlights from the latest episode of Free Talk Live. You can download full episodes, subscribe to our podcast, listen live, and more. All for free at freetalklive.com.